Good morning, everybody. I am a PhD student from Department of Soil Science, University of Saskatchewan, Canada. So I'm going to present a part of my PhD research. So I'm going to talk about transplanted soils. We look at cellulose utilization potential of different Chernozems after they had been transplanted to a one common location and managed under identical conditions for 21 years. As we all know that microbes are the major determinants of biogeochemical cycling, in a soil, microbial community composition and abundance is greatly influenced by several factors. So the objective of my research, or the overall goal of my research, to find out the major governing factors of microbial abundance and composition and their functions in long-term agricultural soils. So for this, we found that 21 years old long-term transplanted field experiment plots located in Agriculture Agri-Food Canada, Lethbridge Research Station, is one of the unique research. Briefly, I am going to explain what they have done. 21 years ago, they removed the AP horizon from the experimental field and they obtained AP or AH horizons from different donor sites and redeposited them in the experimental field. So at the time of transplanting, their physical, chemical, and biological properties were greatly different since they had been obtained from different ecosystems. Even if you look at this picture, you can see in terms of the color how these soils are different. Once the soil deposited, they divided each plot into two and treated with two different levels of nitrogen, 0 and 60 kilograms per hectare. And starting from 1991, these fields are continuously cultivating with wheat. And one of the routine practices they are doing, after harvesting, they are removing crop residues from the field. So I want to highlight three things in this slide. Application of fertilizer continuously for 21 years, continuous cultivation for 21 years, and removal of crop residues for 21 years. And in 2012, we obtained soil samples from 10 different transplanted soils with their nitrogen fertilizer levels, and we look at their microbial abundance and community composition by using phospholipid fatty acid. So what we have observed is, even after 21 years, under identical management, climatic and topographic conditions, their microbial abundance and community composition are still greatly rely on its inherent soil conditions prior to transplanting. So the next question was to see how the carbon assimilation of these soils after 21 years. For this, we developed a stable isotope study. The objectives of the study is to see the microbial assimilation of cellulose in these different transplanted soils, and to see the influence of long-term nitrogen fertilizer application on cellulose decomposition in these transplanted soils after 21 years. In the field scale, we look at 10 different transplanted Chernozems. However, for the incubation study, we selected 4 Chernozems based on our PLFA data. This graph represents the total microbial abundance, and the y-axis represents the soil ID number. This legend indicates the history of management prior to transplanting for each soil number. And then these capitalized M, L, and H letters indicate their fertility level at the time of transplanting. For example, capital H means they are high fertile, and L means they are low fertile, and M means they are mediumly fertile. So I want to draw your attention to 4 different soils. In light green color bars, soil number 8, which is from cereal cultivated land prior to transplanting, and this had highest inherent fertility levels at the time of transplanting. Similar to soil number 8, soil number 9 also had highest inherent fertility level, and this came from a native pastureland soil. And soil number 11, they obtained from dry land till fallow land. This had lowest inherent fertility level at the time of transplanting. We also selected soil number 22. It is continuous manured prior to transplanting, 30 tons per hectare per year. So if you look at the total microbial abundance, the highest inherent fertility soils and the manure applied soils have higher total microbial abundance, and then the lowest inherent fertility soil has lower microbial abundance. So we selected these four soils to see their carbon assimilation after 21 years. Not only that, we also look at how the residual removal for 21 years effect on soil total organic carbon content. We calculate the variation of soil organic carbon content from 1990 to 2012. So we observed that the highest fertility soils, soil number 8 from cereal cultivated land and soil number 9 from native pasture land and manure applied soil, has a reduction in soil organic carbon content within these 21 years. Whereas in the low inherent fertile soil, which is from dryland till fallow, it gained 10% of soil organic carbon content compared to the 1990 at the time of transplanting. So this also give us an idea about the picture of the reasons for the microbial abundance in these transplanted soils. This is the layout of my incubation study. So we choose four different soils, and then if we consider about the field scale, as I mentioned, so half of the soils, they didn't receive any nitrogen, and then they also subjected to crop residue removal. So they are starved with both carbon and nitrogen. Whereas the plots that received nitrogen, they are starved only with carbon. So we obtained soil samples in 2013, and prepared soil microcosms by amending cellulose at a rate of 0.5 gram per kilogram soil. And we also prepared controlled microcosms without adding cellulose. And these microcosms we incubated over 2 months. And during the incubation period, different time intervals, we obtained gas samples from the headspace of the microcosms, and these gas samples we measured total carbon dioxide concentration by using gas chromatography, and the enrichment of C13 CO2 also measured by using Picaro CRDS analyzer. We measured the C13 data to quantify the mineralization of added cellulose. So moving to data, since we have different sampling points throughout the incubation period, for each sampling point, we calculate the daily CCO2 emission. And at the end of the incubation period, we calculate the cumulative CCO2 emission. So what we have found that the soil type, nitrogen history and carbon addition has a great influence on mineralization in these soils without any interactions. And then I'm going to present the cumulative curves for two different soil types. So this graph represents the cumulative CCO2 emission for cereal cultivated soil, which had highest inherent fertility level. So the dashed line with hollow triangles implies the field nitrogen application, and dashed line with hollow squares implies the no nitrogen treatments at the field scale, and then the red color continuous lines with triangles implies the treatment, the field nitrogen added and cellulose added in the incubation study. And then the blue lines with continuous blue lines with squares implies the cellulose added. So in the highest fertile soils, we observe that both nitrogen history, addition of nitrogen and addition of cellulose increases the mineralization. Whereas if we move to a dryland till fallow soil, which had low inherent fertility levels, it showed that the nitrogen application, whether there is a cellulose or not, has a great influence on mineralization. And we also calculate the effect of nitrogen addition on mineralization, and we found the cereal cultivated soil from highly fertile soil is lesserly influenced by nitrogen addition, which is 5%, and the dryland till fallow soil, which had lowest inherent fertility, is greatly increased the mineralization with the addition of nitrogen. This is nearly 31%. Finally, we look at the cellulose mineralization. The cellulose mineralization is higher in highest inherent fertile soils at the beginning of the incubation study. However, when we reach to 30 to 37 days, we observe higher mineralization rates in low inherent fertile soil as well as the manure added soil. So in the low inherent fertile soils, as we saw earlier, there's a lower microbial abundance. Maybe they require time to increase their population to facilitate the cellulose degradation. So based on these results, we can conclude that even after 2 decades of transplanting and managing under identical climatic and topographic conditions, the carbon assimilation of these soils are still rely on its inherent soil conditions. And other than that, long-term nitrogen fertilizer application increase the carbon utilization in both high and low fertility soils, but they exhibited different patterns. So we will further doing microbial community analysis by using C13 PLFA and C13 DNA to see so what are the actual reasons for these patterns that we observed in our CO2 data. So I would like to acknowledge Agriculture Agri-Food Canada for funding and University of Saskatchewan and Soil Biochemistry Group at Agriculture Agri-Food Canada, Lethbridge, for establishing and maintaining such a wonderful research and stable isotope lab, Department of Soil Science, University of Saskatchewan. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
The intuition times team started considering using cellulose as a carbon substrate. Right? The cellulose was, to my knowledge, has been degraded every week or 2 days. A lot of energy to break down the pH bonds and make it the biomass and the carbon uptake by the microbes. Is there a reason you chose cellulose as a substrate?
So these soils are starved with carbon, no? So we thought of adding cellulose because it will give some time for them to increase their population and to utilize it. If we added something like glucose, so we won't be able, because we are going to do the C13 DNA analysis, no? So if you added something like glucose, so they will suddenly use them and we won't be able to capture the active population in those soils. So our main idea is to see whether the active population in these soils different or similar after 21 years. So if we added easily degradable substrate, so we won't be able to capture it. So that's why we added cellulose.
Do you have any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
I was curious to the question when you're sent from your bios, do you keep CO2 in the stratifying?
Sorry, Ryan?
Do you keep your carbon dioxide in the stratifying? On the side of your head, when you're sent from your bios, is that a problem? Or if you can't mix that, it's a waste of your
bios. So every time, once I did sampling, I flushed the headspace with Ultra Zero Air. And then before I'm getting samples, so I just like try to use the cylinder and then mix it and get it. But my research indicates that there won't be any, I didn't have any problem with the uneven mixing or anything.
Do you have any more questions? Let's give her a round of applause. I'd also like to give another round of applause for all of our presenters. They did a wonderful job. Thank you.